SBS Radio.
Magandang araw po. Kasama ko po ngayon sa Australian Embassy sa Manila, si Australian Ambassador to Manila, Ambassador Amanda Gourley. Mapalad po tayo dahil pinaunlakan niya tayo ng interview hinggil sa Philippines-Australia Friendship Day na ginugunita ngayong linggo. Good day, Ambassador. Welcome to SBS Filipino. Thank you for the opportunity to have a chat with you on Philippines-Australia Friendship. From what I gather, bilateral relations between the Philippines and Australia have been on for 73 years. I also have information that in May of 2016, a proclamation order has been released by former President Noynoy Aquino declaring the Philippines Friendship Day. What would be the difference between the two and what would be the significance?
So, hi Shirley, it's lovely to be with you and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to SBS Filipino listeners in Australia around Australia-Philippine Friendship Day. So, we marked the 70th anniversary of our formal diplomatic ties in 2016, and around that time, as to mark that occasion, the Philippine government proclaimed the 22nd of May Philippine-Australia Friendship Day. That's the date that Australia formally established diplomatic relations with the Philippines. But of course, our relationship goes way back beyond that, you know, to the late 1800s when Filipinos travelled to Australia to work in the pearling industry. But the Friendship Day gives us a focus each year in which to celebrate the bilateral relationship. So last year we did a festival in BGC, and this year we're taking it to Davao and doing a week-long series of events there.
Speaking about friendship, in any friendship there are strong points, weak points. How has relations or the friendship between Australia and the Philippines fared for the past years? Do you mind speaking about the strong points and the weak points, if any, and how you have been working around the weak points?
Sure. Well, I mean, of course, as you say, every relationship has its strong points and weak points, and the Australian-Philippines relationship is founded on some very strong common principles and history. And while we both have democratic governments that change, you know, over the course of time, I think the fundamentals of the relationship remain strong. So one area where I've seen particular strength over the last 12 months is in our defence cooperation and our joint efforts to tackle terrorism in the Philippines and also in the region more broadly. And of course, we've seen the terrible events in Indonesia in the last week, which just underline how important it is for all of us to work together. So Australia, as you may know, provided significant support to the armed forces of the Philippines during the Marawi siege, and we continue to provide ongoing training in urban warfare forces.
You do have two Australian ships visiting the Philippines.
We also have, you're correct, two additional patrol boats that are doing joint patrols with the Philippine Navy in the Sulu Sea area, and they're tackling things like transnational crime, you know, that sort of thing.
That's ongoing.
Yeah, so another two vessels arrived earlier this week. That's right. Yeah.
And on the weak points?
Well, I mean, I always say,
any?
No, of course there are areas where we can do better. We should always be striving to improve things. One area where I think there's scope to really improve is on the trade and investment front. Although there are strong pockets of growth in Australia's trade with the Philippines and very strong markets here, I think there is scope to do more. It would be good for the Philippines to move up in the rankings of Australia's export destinations, and likewise I think it would be good if Australia took more products from the Philippines. I think, you know, both countries are positive and open to that, but it's a matter of educating our companies and businesses and opening their eyes to the opportunities in each country.
Australia has been very strong in supporting Philippines' concerns in Mindanao. I have seen that very well in the peace process, even on women empowerment and child care and education as well. These are very strong links or support systems by Australia in Mindanao. How have these been progressing over the years, especially with President Duterte's campaign to push the peace process, not just with the Muslims, but also with the communists now?
Well, Australia, as you say, has long supported the peace process in the Philippines. We really hope that the Bangsamoro Basic Law can be passed by the Philippine government and implemented. We think that sort of development would make a difference in terms of the aspirations and hopes of the Bangsamoro people. We have very good relations with the Autonomous Region of Muslim Mindanao administration, and as you say, we have a major development project focused on the education sector there, because of course education is critical to development, and from Australia's point of view, you know, we want to see a prosperous, secure, peaceful Philippines. We think it's a very important part of the regional picture.
Ambassador, you've been here for how long in the Philippines?
2.5 years, Shirley. It's flying by.
And we like that very much. What are the moments of that highlight, the moments of Philippines-Australia friendship which you have witnessed, which highlight this particular friendship from a personal point of view? Yeah, having been here for 2 years and moving on.
Well, I think one of the moments I found most affecting personally was actually not so long ago. I went to Zamboanga and visited a community, a Muslim community who'd been displaced by the Zamboanga siege. The Australian government had funded a new housing development for them, but also worked with particularly a lot of the older members of the community to get them their birth certificates documented and just basic paperwork that we take for granted in everyday life. And sitting down with those women and just hearing their emotional stories really you know, affected me deeply and made me realise how even small things like having a birth certificate can mean so much to people and enable them to move forward in their lives. So that was a very affecting moment. Another moment I remember from when I, not long after I first arrived, was meeting a 90-year-old Filipina lady who was the first woman to go and study in Australia at Melbourne University under the Colombo Plan. And, you know, she's still coming along, 90. And she's still, she'd be about 92 now, but she's still coming along to alumni events, which shows how important the relationships are that you develop when you actually spend time in another country.
And that makes the links and all the hard work even worth it.
That's right. I mean, I have to say it's an absolute joy working with the people of the Philippines. They're just wonderfully welcoming and friendly. And wherever I go, from, you know, Mindanao in the south to Batanes in the north, where I was a couple of weeks ago, I feel like there's a lot of interest in Australia, and those links that have been forged over time are really visible.
Still on friendship, how is your friendship with the Philippines president, Rodrigo Duterte?
Well, I have met the president about half a dozen times. In fact, I saw him last night because I was at the state dinner for the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea. So I would say we have a professional and cordial relationship. He's always very welcoming when I do call on him. I've met with him with Prime Minister Turnbull and with Foreign Minister Bishop. And in those meetings, there's always a very constructive discussion about the cooperation between the two countries. So, you know, we have a very professional and cordial relationship.
Very good to hear that. And in what ways would the Philippines and Australia celebrate their friendship now in its third year? Would you also care to send a short message in this chat to the Filipinos listening to SBS Filipino?
Sure. Well, Firstly, I'd say to any Filipinos listening in Australia, please mark your own Philippine-Australia Friendship Day on the 22nd of May and do some things with the community in Australia. That would be fantastic. But also, if you have any family and friends living in Davao in that area, please let them know and encourage them to come along to some of the things that we'll be doing next week. So it's over a whole week, and so there's a range of different things. And then there's various events at different schools, including a book turning over, and also the Brigada Escuela education working with school. We'll be doing a lot of things at the SM Mall in Davao. We've got an exhibition of Indigenous work, and we've brought a fantastic didgeridoo player, Jeremy Donovan, who's doing a lot of different things over the course of the week. And we'll have our education and visa people there and tourism to talk about those sorts of things with anyone who wants to come and have a chat. We're doing some really good stuff with our alumni. There's a really enthusiastic group of alumni in the Davao, Mindanao area, and they're always very supportive. And we've got a rugby match, which my husband's refereeing. There's a lot of interest in rugby.
You need to teach the Filipinos to play rugby.
We are. And there's, I think, 250 kids who've been part of a program we've funded for junior rugby. So boys and girls, there's a lot of really good female players, and so we're looking forward to that. And then we are going to the Philippine Eagle Foundation and doing some work with them. So it's just
a lot of things. Has the President Duterte been invited?
He certainly has been invited.
And is he coming?
Well, I hope so. We would love to see him at our events. It would be a pleasure.
Ambassador, last year, if I recall right, we've had the celebration here in Manila. And this year, it's in Davao.
Yeah.
Why the movement in different places in the Philippines?
Well, I think it's like any country, if you just spend all your time in the capital city, you don't really reach the whole population or really understand the country. If you did everything in Australia in Canberra, that would be the case. And likewise here, we want to take it out to the different regional centres in the Philippines. So Davao, the third largest city, is an obvious choice, and next year we'll probably take it to Cebu. So,
Cebu will be the next
hopefully.
Filipinos are one of the biggest migrant peoples to Australia, and in fact, I'm sure a big portion of them are listening to us right now. What do you think is the reason many Filipinos are lured to relocate to Australia?
Well, we love the fact that there is such a strong 300,000-plus Filipino community in Australia. I think a lot of them are lured there for professional reasons. Australian businesses really want the skills that Filipinos have, and I think a lot of your listeners would have come to Australia for those reasons. Others come for family reasons. They've already got family there, and they have a reunion. And then, of course, we have the students who... There's over 10,000 students from the Philippines studying in Australia, and tourists as well. I met the Speaker of the Philippine Parliament last night, and he told me his son's just started studying in New South Wales. So there's a lot of families here who have kids studying in Australia.
Have relatives there as well.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
Well, it was indeed special to have had this talk with you, Ambassador Gurley, on Philippines-Australia friendship, which I'm sure Filipinos, I believe I speak for a fair number of Filipinos, we treasure and hold this friendship close to our hearts. So thank you very much to you, and more power to the friendship we celebrate.
Absolutely. I thank you very much for spending some time with me, and I wish all the very best to your listeners. Thank you.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.